Hey, I'm Eric Etheridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We're back again for another episode of Prairie Beat,
our weekly news podcast here on Prairie Public. Danielle, what is in the news this week?
Well, this week I thought we could take a look back at a couple of stories we've already covered on the podcast and give some updates. There has been a lot going on.
Indeed. And I'm always game for a good follow-up. What is first?
So earlier this year, back in August, if you'll recall, there was a couple of weeks there where there was a lot of heat on the Fargo Police Department, specifically the chief of police, in response to a news conference after a particularly deadly night.
Yeah, you could maybe call this, if this were a TV show, in the heat of the night. I remember that night very, very well, and quite seriously and quite awfully, there were two fatal shootings that night. They are overshadowed by how Chief Cebulski handled speaking to reporters in the aftermath, all about the optics, all about the PR. These were some serious crimes. Two people dead and a couple of others injured, right?
Correct. This was the early morning of August 3rd. Elijah Hughes was shot and killed at an apartment building in Fargo, and three people were shot in downtown Fargo that same night. Two were injured, but Azeem Holmes was also unfortunately killed. And Fargo police were able to arrest Sandre Douglas the following day, charging him with the murder of Elijah Hughes, but they were still looking for the alleged shooter of Azeem Holmes. Fargo police said they were looking for Tyreek Jones, charged him with murder, and he wasn't located until last week.
Yeah, it was a very long stretch there, but they were pretty gleeful in the fact that they supposedly found the person that they were suspecting of this shooting. It was a very chaotic night for the whole Fargo-Moorhead area. Everybody was on edge for sure, and I think a lot of critique was a lack of kind of upfront communication about it. It wasn't until Monday that we even heard a whole lot from the Fargo Police Department, certainly the chief. There was a lot of confusion, not only about what happened, but questions about where he was at the time, about how safe Fargo is. Now Tyreek Jones, well, he has been on the run all this time, wanted for murder. They said he was armed and dangerous, too.
Yes, he was located in Minneapolis last week and then arrested. And obviously, you know, as we've been talking about, a lot can happen in 4 months. About a week after the shootings, Jones's mother released a letter to the public declaring his innocence. And once Fargo police were finally able to interview Jones down in Hennepin County last week, they actually determined that he was not the shooter they were looking for. Fargo police captain Matt Christensen said at a news conference on Friday, you need probable cause in order to charge with murder. But he said once they were able to interview Jones, things changed.
Well, the video is what we used to develop probable cause. And based on the information we got from him, we reevaluated the video. And based on his information from his actions, we're able to look at that video through a different lens and corroborate some of the information that he gave.
You know, and it should be said for those who think, well, why did he run if he had nothing to hide, if he was innocent? Well, that might be easy to say if you grew up not being afraid of police and authorities, as some individuals and historically some populations have. Plus, if you're being called armed and dangerous, it doesn't exactly make you want to emerge from hiding and say, here I am. Well, you know, in rewinding, that's really something, because they said initially that video evidence led to the murder charge, right? Video evidence doesn't lie, supposedly. I feel like this isn't the sort of thing that you hear about very often in these types of cases. So what did he say in that interview?
So they're not really quite willing to say exactly what he said. At the news conference, they said, you know, this is an open investigation, and I understand that, you know, while it's going on, they like to keep certain details to themselves as the investigation works itself out. But court documents have painted a bit more of a detailed picture, even if that picture seems to just pose more questions, honestly. Tyreek Jones was actually hanging out and playing video games with Elijah Hughes. That's the other murder victim that night, at the apartment building where Hughes was allegedly shot by Sandre Douglas. Jones was interviewed by police that very night. He told them that Hughes got a text message, left, and then he was shot outside the apartment. And when he was interviewed, Jones told police he assumed Hughes had left to go home, but they noticed he did have a couple of noticeable injuries to his face that he said was a work-related injury. And Jones was later observed on surveillance video downtown Fargo being struck on the head by Azeem Holmes. Now, that's the victim Jones was accused of shooting. He was hit in the head with a glass bottle. Jones chased Holmes, and someone is seen on the video with a pistol, and multiple shots are seen fired.
Okay, so that was the video police said seemed to implicate Holmes in the first place. That's quite the sequence of events, and you're right. It really does raise more questions about how all these people knew each other and what really happened, how it's all connected, tied together. I don't think that we're going to know much until authorities arrest the alleged right person.
That's what they're working on right now. Fargo police are asking the public again to come forward if they have any tips or information.
I regret that this is how it played out. But like I said, at the time of the investigation, based on the information we had, we did have probable cause to make that arrest and identify him as a suspect. It would have been really nice to interview him right away. We could have cleared that up 4 months ago, and we'd be 4 months ahead.
Now, Tyreek Jones's mother, Shannon Jackson, she once again spoke to the media last week, and she says just because of everything that's happened, her son's life has been in danger and is in danger. He's being extradited to Cass County on a couple of other unrelated warrants. So, again, this is a continually developing story with a lot of moving parts.
Well, I guess we will just have to stay tuned to that. I know you guys will be on top of it. So, were there any other follow-ups this week, Danielle?
Yeah, so we reported this fall on the Applied Digital Data Center that was proposed for just outside of Harwood, which is north of Fargo. That project was very quickly approved, but there was a bit of a turf war about that project that ended up being settled just this week.
Applied Digital talked to both Fargo and Harwood about where they wanted to build this thing, and they picked Harwood. That had to do with some city franchise fees that they didn't want to pay in Fargo, go figure. Mm-hmm. But then Fargo started proceedings to annex the Harwood land into their city limits as the North Dakota world turns.
Yes. And yeah, this was a very testy situation between the two cities. Data centers, like we've been saying, you know, they can be kind of controversial in the first place. So the cities were kind of looking at, you know, do we want to take on this project that will have infrastructure and resource impacts on our community? Is it worth the risk to get that reward, all that stuff? City leadership in Harwood seemed agreeable to taking on the project and all the responsibilities of it. But Fargo had some budget issues this year, if you recall, and probably saw a good opportunity there. It's a $3 billion facility. But this week, the city of Fargo officially pulled their annexation proposals. So that matter is pretty much settled for now.
Well, that has been quite the story, with leadership from both cities having very passionate feelings about the whole thing. I sense a little trepidation on the part of residents of both cities, too. If there are any benefits to data centers, then cities want to receive those benefits, naturally. But I've read a lot about other data centers everywhere else in the country, and they're sprouting up like weeds, where electric rates are an issue. I know they use a lot of water, too. That's another big issue, mm-hmm. to keep the buildings cool. That's one advantage that North Dakota has. Emotions certainly ran high, but at least for now, it seems a matter of which city will host that center has been settled. More questions and impacts are likely to come, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so we're going to have to see about that, huh? The territory is settled, but more than likely more to come from that story.
So you news people, what else have you been working on this week?
It wasn't a good fit for the rural and frontier areas of North Dakota.
North Dakota's Long-Term Care Association says a burdensome regulation they were working to be in compliance with has been removed.
The point of the grant is to support the educators.
The Department of Public Instruction has received a grant to help focus on math education. And as I'm sure everyone has noticed, we've been having winter weather this week here in North Dakota. Folks should definitely take care if they are manually moving snow from their sidewalks and driveways.
We probably all know heart attacks seem to go up this time of year when people are trying to shovel that snow. So, you know, take it easy out there, will ya? All right, Danielle, thank you for all that good info.
You bet. Be sure to tune in to Prairie Public for more news or check us out online at news.prairiepublic.org.
All right, that's all, folks, for this week's Prairie Beat. I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week.